T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides, the Upstate's most interactive sports radio show. Great to be here with you guys on a Monday edition of the show. Hope you have a wonderful weekend. Yeah, people fired up. Texter says, Mark, can you refresh what you just said about Dabo Swinney? I missed it. Texter said, Mark Ryan, I'm sick of your opinion. Always talking about what's wrong at Clemson. Always judging Dabo Swinney and everyone else. Sick of your opinion and sick of your show. I will never be eye to eye, and I will never identify with those people who like unfollow you when they say something you don't like. All right. I'll never be up to speed with those people, because like those people, anybody who unfollows you or stops listening to your show because you said something that they didn't like about your team can only live in a world of rainbows and gumdrops, man. And that this ain't Willy Wonka's chocolate factory, kids. That's not what this is. You know, we shoot straight. And I am blessed to call Clemson's postgame show. Blessed to be able to do that. All right. But I am not going to sacrifice the MO of this show, which is we shoot straight, right? We talk about it all. And I was scrolling through Twitter over the weekend, and a texter says, what did you say about Clemson and Dabo? Sports by Brooks on Twitter tweeted the following. A big-time guy, big media following, tweeted the following. Dabo Swinney, who cites the Bible to justify America's most prominent vestige of slavery, just allowed 37 men on a team that's disproportionately black to be infected by a biblical plague that now places the lives of additional at-risk Americans in jeopardy. Sounds about right. Those aren't my words. Those are his words. I put it out there for you guys, and I ask your opinion on it. Now, I think Dabo was a little off base with his first message on the George Floyd thing. I think there needed to be more action there, and I think his players spoke to him about that. I give him a lot of credit for having open communication and understanding where he still needs to grow, right? He's a very simple guy. He's a football coach. He's not a public speaker. I get all that. So this is not a bash Clemson thing in any way, shape, or form. All right. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Joining us right now is somebody I had the privilege of working with in Houston, Texas. He's a ton of fun. One time, he and I did a non-sports bracket, and I think it was called March Mayhem. And we put together this entire bracket of who would win, what athletes would win if they were fighting each other, right? And that was the bracket that we did for our non-sports bracket. It's fantastic to have him on right now. He is Josh Beard, big-time Texas A&M guy, media member in Houston as well, and Josh Beard joins the show. Josh, great to catch up with you, man. What's going on?
Nothing much. It's great to rejoin you. I was actually going to bring up the March Mayhem bracket at some point while I was on with you, because it's still hands down my favorite radio moment of all time. And I believe I think I'm right that Jadeveon Clowney ended up winning that bracket. So a little South Carolina love there. I think Clowney won.
Oh, dude, who is the? But he was in the finals. No, I think it was J.J. Watt, wasn't it? J.J. Watt in the finals, and Jadeveon Clowney lost in the semifinals. And now, dude, I'm blanking out on the name of the point guard for the Rockets that's now on the Clippers.
Oh, Patrick
Beverley. Patrick Beverley. Yeah. Patrick freaking Beverley beat Jadeveon Clowney by vote to make it to the final of who wins March Mayhem in an all-Houston athlete fight. And, dude, I think it was like 51% to 49% Watt won over Patrick Beverley. How about that?
Yeah, I think too many people love Patrick Beverley and the spark. I mean, Patrick Beverley did bring a great spark, but J.J. Watts, he's just a little bit too I don't know how to explain it. Like, he's just like a sponge. He's just there and does his job. But Jadeveon Clowney should have won that bracket. I thought he won. He should have won that bracket if he didn't.
There you go. There you go. Hey, Josh, it is time to talk some college football, man. Is it? You know why I did this, Josh? I'm doing this segment where we preview what, you know, I'm going to try to get to all SEC and all ACC teams. And we did the SEC East the last seven shows. Now we're on show three of the SEC West. We've done Ole Miss. We've done Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Now Texas A&M. But, dude, this segment is as good for me as it is for you or the listeners, because it just, you know, it takes us away from all the COVID, all of the hostility going on in our society right now, and it just has us focusing on college football. So Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, I think there's a difference, Josh, between coaches that are on the hot seat, which Jimbo Fisher is not, which Dan Mullen at Florida is not, and coaches who are feeling pressure. Jimbo Fisher is under pressure. Dan Mullen needs to beat Georgia this year. He's under pressure. Is the mild disappointment with the first couple of years of Jimbo Fisher in College Station, is that unfounded in your opinion?
I wouldn't call it disappointment yet. It's definitely there. And the pressure is there because of how much he's getting paid to do his job. But, going 7-5 in your second year after getting paid that huge long-term contract that he got, making $10 million a year, over 10 years, it's just, you don't want to see 7-5. And the problem is, you know me, Mark, you know I can be a bit of an apologist sometime. I might be a little biased towards the Aggies. I always joke around and tell everybody I'm only an Aggies insider because I stay, even before COVID, I just stay inside poring over Aggies stats and numbers and players and recruits all the time. That's the only reason I consider myself an Aggies insider. But 7-5 isn't okay, and a lot of people forgive Jimbo Fisher's second year in College Station by saying that the schedule was just very difficult, and it was. I mean, last year the Aggies had a really tough schedule. Three of their five losses last year were on the road versus Clemson, LSU, and Georgia, and one of the five losses was in College Station against Alabama. Nobody expected them to win that game. I think there was only one game that was even relatively close. The rest of them were blowouts. But the Aggies were a young team, and he had a lot of, he's had two really good recruiting classes. He's on the verge of getting another great recruiting class coming in for next year. And the Aggies have a lot of returning players that are going to be coming back. They're going to be an older team. They're not going to be as young in the secondary as they were last year. They're not going to be quite as young on the offensive line as they were last year. And it helps that you've got a senior quarterback in Kellen Mond coming back, whether he's had his issues, you know, the last couple of years, making some progress, it seemed like his sophomore year, and then a lot of people think he regressed last year. It does help that this team's going to be a little bit older, but that pressure is definitely there. And I don't think it's a disappointment yet, but we're very, very close to, if they don't have a good season this year, then a lot of Aggie fans and a lot of Aggie people that pay that university a lot of money are going to start asking questions.
Well, it's 10 years, $75 million, and it's fully guaranteed. So let's have the awkward question. I mean, he's, even if he went 0-12 2 years in a row, they're committed, right? They can't get out of that.
Yeah. They're kind of stuck. It's like my wife with me. Like, she married me. She's not getting out of this. It's pretty much the same thing. But, yeah, they're committed to that. And he could have gone, I think that's where a lot of the leeway comes from, is he could have gone 0-12. And I think people would have forgiven him if he didn't have a couple of good years his first 2 years. But his first year in College Station was really successful. And he 7-5, he still made a bowl game in year two, and they had a really tough schedule. So a lot of people are willing to forgive that. But this year coming up, the schedule is not nearly as hard. It's a lot easier than it was last year. And I could easily see them. I could see them going 7-5 again because there are a lot of unknowns on that schedule, a lot of teams that we don't know about with new coaches coming in or new talent coming in with a lot of old talent leaving. But I could see them going 11-1 and at least being in the college football playoff conversation without even making an SEC championship game.
Now, if I heard you just say that, Josh, before I have their schedule in front of me, I'm bursting out laughing. Okay, 11-1 because you know Clemson fans last year, and I remember being at that game. You know, we were told that Texas A&M was the real deal, preseason top 10, and we learned right away. Well, okay, either Clemson is really good or Texas A&M is not anywhere close to a top 10 team, and it turned out both of those things were true. But that was never a competitive game. Then you look at the schedule this year, Josh, and you're right. Jimbo Fisher has the perfect non-conference schedule. He has three FBS opponents, Fresno, Colorado, North Texas, none of whom can beat them, okay? And then you have ACU. What is that? What is ACU, the first game?
Abilene Christian University. You've only heard of it if you grew up in Texas or happened to drive through Abilene one time.
By the way, Abilene Christian was in the March Madness the year before last, and we were doing a bit, Josh, where we were asking just a pop quiz of my producer, what state is the college in, what city, and what's the mascot. On Abilene Christian, my producer Lonzo said they are in Butte, Montana, and their mascot is the platypi. Okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, honestly, that might actually. I'd probably watch more games if they were the platypi and they were in Butte, Montana. To be honest.
There you go. But I'm looking at this schedule, Josh. I count only one game that I say is a definitive loss at Alabama, November 21st. Yeah, you play in the SEC West, but at Auburn, Bo Nix, second year, Auburn, they lose Derek Brown off the defensive line. That's a tough game, but it's not a definite loss at South Carolina. Come on. Ole Miss at home, Vandy at home. Who do you get? Who's the second team? You get South Carolina and Vandy out of the East, and you get LSU at home. The last game of the year, no Joe Burrow coming off a 50-0 beatdown last year with a lot of motivation on the line. This is as favorable an SEC slate as you could ever hope for. A kind of a perfect non-conference schedule, easy, but not so easy that it's going to be criticized. Right, three FBS opponents.
Right.
I don't see why Jimbo Fisher can't put up a 10-2 top 10 finish this year.
Yeah, I mean, 11-1 and 10-2 is absolutely doable. They should go 3-0 right out of the gate against Abilene Christian, North Texas, and Colorado. Arkansas has tended to put up a fight against Texas. Weirdly enough, Arkansas is they're not a bad football team, but they're not a great SEC football team. But for some reason, whenever they play against Texas A&M, Texas A&M struggles against that Arkansas team. They struggled against them last year. They ended up winning, but it's a battle every single time. But Mississippi State, we don't know what they're going to look like. Ole Miss, we don't know what they're going to look like. LSU, like you said, lost Joe Burrow. They lost a lot of other talent outside of Joe Burrow, and that's going to be in College Station. And so when you look and it was the South Carolina at South Carolina, but Texas A&M has won that matchup the last 6 years in a row. So the two games that really worry me the most for the Aggies, and when you're looking at this schedule and you're Jimbo Fisher and the ones that you highlight and you circle and you cross, whatever you need to do to show your players that these are the most important, it's at Auburn on October 17th. And then at Alabama on November 21st. I really believe that Auburn game is going to be what sets the tone for the Aggies in the second half of the season and what could set them up to be in a position to be in that college football playoff conversation at the very least. Because if they beat Auburn on the road in that game, then they go into another – they have those back-to-back games on the road against Auburn and South Carolina. But they've got a lot of confidence going against South Carolina, a lot of confidence going against Ole Miss, Vanderbilt. And then they go on the road against Alabama. To me, maybe it's just my small tortured Aggie heart, and I'm just disappointed. And I know that that's already a loss. But to me, I'm already counting Alabama as a loss. But every other game is absolutely winnable. But like you said, last year we talked about how the Aggies could have been an incredible team. They were supposed to be this top 10 talent. They were great in the first year with Jimbo Fisher. Then they go against that really hard schedule and that really hard slate. and they didn't stand the test. And a lot of that has to do with Kellen Mond. And a lot of people think that Kellen Mond regressed last year.
Oh, he was supposed to be great, man. And he looks like one of those guys, Josh, that just kind of is what he is. He's not an NFL quarterback. He has an awkward delivery. He's mobile, but I don't know. Sometimes you can tell a lot by how a player looks and how he moves. And he just kind of looks like a statue back there, the way that he plays the game. I don't think he's got NFL potential. I think he can be a good, effective college player. But I wonder if he kind of limits the ceiling of what Jimbo Fisher can do there.
I totally agree. I mean, last year he had over 3,300 yards in total offense. So a lot of people think he regressed. I don't necessarily know that it was a regression as much as he was trying to be something that he's just not. He was trying to turn himself into something that's different than what he was. And when he started to overthink and he ended up getting in his own way. But if you watch tape of him from last year, you could see him overthink when he was trying to be the NFL quarterback. And just like you said, he's not that. He's not an NFL quarterback because he's at his best when he's on the run and he's being mobile, not when he's standing in the pocket and trying to read a defense. He just doesn't do that well enough. But when he didn't have enough time to overthink things, and he could be on the move and he could just go and play football and he didn't think about, let's go through my progression the way I'm supposed to and let's try to be this pocket passer that the NFL wants me to be. When he got out of that mindset, he was incredible, especially in crunch time. So if he gets out of his own way and just accepts, this is what I need to do to win with the Aggies, this is what I am, this is what I'm going to be, then he could have a really, really successful senior campaign.
Josh, before we let you go, can we get three players to watch out for here in the 2020 season? Three players that my audience needs to be aware of here.
Well, number one, we just talked about him. It's Kellen Mond. To me, he is the player to watch. He could end up being the best, most talented quarterback in the SEC. I mean, I've seen it vary from top quarterback in the SEC to fourth or fifth best quarterback in the SEC. But if he gets out of his own way, like we said, he could be the top quarterback or one of the top quarterbacks in the SEC. Number two is Isaiah Spiller, the running back from last year. He started last year as the backup. He ended the year with almost 1,000 yards rushing and 10 touchdowns. The guy's incredibly talented. He's really physical. And so in his sophomore campaign, I really say everybody needs to keep an eye on this guy because he could end up being one of the SEC's top rusher. And this one's a little bit – he's not even a starter or listed as a starter on the depth chart, but this is a guy that everybody needs to watch out for, tight end Baylor Cup. He ended up – he was supposed to start as a true freshman. Ended up not getting to start because he got hurt in the spring game, in spring training, and he didn't get to play the entire season. But Baylor Cup is an incredibly talented vertical threat type of tight end. Reminds me of an even more athletic version of Jay Sternberger, who the Aggies had a couple of years ago. He's with the Packers now. But Baylor Cup could end up being a breakout player for the Aggies, especially a team with a whole lot of wide receiver talent. I really like Jamon Osmond, but last year they only had 10 plays of over 30 yards in the passing game, and six of those were Osmond himself. So Baylor Cup, I could see him coming in, being athletic like he is. He's really tall. He's really physical, and coming in and making a ton of plays for the Aggies. So that's definitely – that's my number one name for everybody to look out for.
He is Josh Beard. Had the privilege of working with him at Sports Radio 610 in Houston, a Houston area media personality. Josh, so good to catch up with you, man. Thanks for making the time, and hope you and your family and everybody stays real safe. Oh, by the way, dude, I have one recommendation for you. I just got The Last of Us Part 2. And I am transfixed. Now let me tell you, because I'm a wuss, I can't play the game for more than 30 minutes at a time. It's just too intense for me, okay? Like, I got to put it down after 30 minutes. I can't handle they got me, dude, in, like, these dark buildings with mold. And, you know, I start feeling like I'm having asthma inside my house when I'm inside this building. But I'm telling you, man, the game was one of the best I've ever seen, one of the best I've ever played. It took me freaking 10 hours to download this thing. I think it pushes the PS4 absolutely to its max, and you can tell, man, it's beautiful. I don't know if you've gotten to check it out yet.
I've gotten to play it a little bit, but Mark, you always know the way to my heart, Aggies and video games. So you always know how to really get me going. You know where my passions are. But yeah, it's definitely a great game. I've gotten the chance to play it. I'm glad that you agree with my opinion on that, because I was going to unfollow you if you didn't agree with my opinion on
that.
Yeah,
that's what we do. That's what we do as a society, man. Yeah, we unfollow people. That's what we do, man. Cancel culture, baby. Hey, Josh, great catching up with you, man. Be well, all right?
Thanks, you too, man.
All right. Josh Beard, my buddy out of Houston, Texas. So good to catch up with him on the show. Coming up next, Cam to the Patriots. So how does the Cam Newton story end? We'll get to that when Offsides continues. Mark Ryan and Tim on a Monday here on ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate, rolling on a Monday edition of the show. So we had that texter, Tim, that said, Mark Ryan, I am sick of your opinion. Always talking about what's wrong at Clemson. You know, it's funny. I've heard the same from South Carolina fans. So whose side are the listeners on here? Always judging Dabo Swinney and everyone else. Sick of you and sick of your show.
I guess that just shows you that, you know, that you're doing your job great. You know, you got both sides of the equation thinking you're against them, you know?
I am an equal opportunity truther here on the show. Love the show, Mark. This is how it always goes, Tim, my entire career. You have two texts right together, back to back, and one is like, you suck, and the second one is, love the show. So this one says, love the show, love the opinions, even if I don't agree with some, but that's what's great about it, to get different perspectives on things. Joe, to Clemson's credit and JMI's credit, that's the broadcasting company, that's what they've wanted for their postgame show, and that's why they bring me back for that show. They have wanted somebody who has an outside take, an outside opinion. They think it's a breath of fresh air, right? So I understand that there's a percentage of homers that just want rainbows and gumdrops and all positives about my school, and that's never going to be me. That's never going to be me. If that's what you want, you've got the wrong show. But if you want the truth, if you want somebody who's going to give you things exactly how he sees it without any fear of repercussion, I'll be your Huckleberry. I got it. I'll be your Huckleberry for you anytime you want. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number to join us on the show here on a Monday edition of the show. Fantastic to be here with you guys today. So I want to get to this. You know, Cam Newton goes from the Carolina Panthers to the New England Patriots, right? And the Patriots signed him yesterday. It takes the heat off of the Patriots about, the filming of the Cincinnati Bengals and the $1.1 million fine and the loss of a third-round draft pick. But I was thinking about this, and I was wondering to myself the following question yesterday. How does the Cam Newton story end? What is the end of the Cam Newton story? What is the final chapter? And I was wondering about this, and I was thinking, what are the most likely outcomes here? Okay? And I'd like to pose that question to you as well. You know, how do you think the Cam Newton story ends? In your opinion, does it end with a Hall of Fame bust? Does it end with a Super Bowl win? Does it end with him never being a starting quarterback again? Is this the last year of Cam Newton's career because he's just not healthy? You know, or does he alienate somebody, which seemingly happened in Carolina, to the point where people view him as somebody you don't want to sign? He, for as good as he is, you know, people talk about Colin Kaepernick a lot, and Kevin Miller messaged me on Facebook, and he said, Mark, you know, New England signed Cam Newton so they didn't have to sign Colin Kaepernick. Do you have the balls to mention that? That's what he says to me. Of course I have the balls to mention it, Kevin Miller. I will, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick is plenty well and good enough of a football player to be on an NFL roster. But Cam Newton and Colin Kaepernick at this point aren't even playing the same game. Like, Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton is a top half starter in the National Football League. Colin Kaepernick at this point is probably nothing but a backup. So, yeah, I mean, New England, I don't think New England feels pressure to sign Colin Kaepernick. I think the league feels pressure to sign Colin Kaepernick. I think Roger Goodell feels pressure to get Colin Kaepernick a home, and he's even commented on as such. But Cam Newton was far and away the best possible quarterback prospect on the open market, and he just dangled for months and months and months, starting caliber quarterback available, just dangling without much of an explanation at all, right? Doesn't make any sense at all why he did as long as he did. His former coordinator, Norv Turner, this offseason, this year, said the following about Cam. When Cam was healthy and we were there with him in 2018, we were 6-2. Just look at the tape. Played his ass off. His issue was more health than anything else. And from what I understand, I don't think these are health issues that he can't overcome. He's had the time off now. I think he'll be great. I think it'll be really good for Cam, and I think it'll be good for the Patriots. The biggest question mark is you don't know what you're getting with Cam Newton at this point, right? I mean, what are you getting with him? Are you getting a top 10 quarterback in the league? Are you getting somebody who looked lost and out of sorts and not effective, and the team went on a four-game winning streak when Cam went out and Kyle Allen came in when Cam had the Liz Frank foot injury like Jake Bentley did, right? I mean, the team suddenly got better with Kyle Allen, and you're thinking to yourself, that's not a good sign. So how does the Cam Newton story end, ladies and gentlemen? What's the conclusion to Cam Newton? 1-844-477-3776, 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Tim, your theories, your thoughts on how the Cam Newton story ends. What say you?
I think the Panthers gypped him in a way that they didn't allow him to kind of recover and get everything he needed. So I think, in a way, I think he'll be much better than what he was. I still don't think he's going to be back to anywhere close to where he was, even in 2018 when he went 6-2. I don't see it happening. I don't think he's going to recover and be anywhere near the same that he was. I just don't see it.
So will he be a starter again? 5-year starter? Will he be in the Hall of Fame?
Will he be in the Hall of Fame? It's going to be. It's close. It's very close. I don't know about Hall of Fame yet. What was the starter you said? What was the other one you said?
Yeah, will he be a starter? Will he be in the Hall of Fame? What do you think?
Hall of Fame, I think he still has work to do.
And you don't think he's going to be healthy enough to get that work in?
No, I do not.
I also agree. Now, Travis Hancock and I of WFNZ, we differed on this. He thinks Cam Newton is easily the fourth best Carolina Panther after Julius Peppers, Luke Kuechly, Steve Smith. He thinks Christian McCaffrey could pass him as well. And he references Hall of Fame candidacy, right? Peppers, Kuechly, Smith are all Hall of Famers. I don't know how you don't have Cam Newton number one. And I don't know that Cam Newton at this point is a Hall of Famer because of what he meant to your franchise. You know, you could have lost any of those other guys and still been competitive. You lose Cam Newton, what great season have they had since Cam Newton. Like, seriously, the last 10 years, what great season do you have if Cam Newton isn't there? Jake Delhomme took the team to the Super Bowl, was involved with them being in the Super Bowl, right? I don't know how much of a role he played in that particular thing. But to me, how does the Cam Newton story end? I think he does enough to get in the Hall of Fame. I do. I think he gets well. I think he becomes healthy again. I think that he is not quite as dynamic as he was 4 or 5 years ago, but I think he's smart enough, and I think he's gotten healthy enough to where he will. I think he's going to become an effective starter in the NFL again. That may be with New England. That may not be with New England. But this one-year trial that New England is giving him is the best possible thing for his career, and he's going to have. He's going to win this job, number one. He's going to beat out Jarrett Stidham, and he's going to have 16 games of tape in which to impress the rest of the National Football League, show them that he deserves a start, right? What did Teddy Bridgewater do last year with his 5 games to play when Drew Brees was out, right? What did he do? He killed it. He slayed it. One could even make the point that the Saints were better when Teddy Bridgewater. They were more effective, 5-0 with Teddy Bridgewater last year than even Drew Brees. And Teddy Bridgewater got an annual salary deal of $21 million. I mean, think about this for a minute. Cam Newton gets a couple million, and Teddy Bridgewater gets 21. What kind of bizarro world are we living in? A bizarro world that in order to make a financial investment, needs to see that Cam Newton is healthy, needed to see that Teddy Bridgewater was healthy. What happens when you did see he was healthy? Now he's the starting quarterback of the Carolina Panthers. I think Cam Newton does enough to get in the Hall of Fame. I think he still has another 3 to 4 year run as a starter in him somewhere. I think he gets to start this year. I think he will remain in the games. I think he will be healthy. I think we will see that he's not quite the same Cam as the very best Cam, but that he's still pretty doggone good. I also do not believe in any way, shape, or form, the Carolina Panthers erred in letting him go. I know that's what my broadcast partner, Rob Brown, thinks. I saw a tweet from him earlier today. It's totally wrong. They're not going to regret letting Cam go. That was a chapter that had ended. They're ushering in a new era right now in Carolina. It's North Carolina, South Carolina, our team here in the Carolinas. Ushering in a new era. It didn't fit with a new era. It didn't fit with what they were wanting to do. Right? It was clearly time to turn the page. And you know what? That's okay, man. It's okay to say, you know what? We love you. We respect you. But it's time to move on. Unfortunately, there was some bad blood somewhere between Cam and the Panthers, some behind the scenes stuff that we may never fully know about. And so both sides are kind of taking shots at each other. And it's just the weirdest thing in the world, man. Absolutely the weirdest thing in the world. All right. Coming up next, we do this every Monday, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for 3 controversial opinions. This texter that said he was sick of my opinions and he's sick of the show. I might advise you to turn off this very next segment, texter, because 3 controversial opinions, you want the truth, maybe you can't handle the truth, is next here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides. Mark Ryan and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate. Fantastic to be here with you guys. Check on our text line, 71307. Just put ESPN in the body of your text and then rock that sexy body. What you're getting with Cam is a now healthy version of himself that has done nothing but actually improve in the games he played in terms of his completion percentage. Yeah, I mean, I think we've really been seeing like a Cam that was getting run down since 2016, right? I mean, like, you just look at the numbers, 23-23 record, 65 touchdowns, 44 interceptions. That's like not even 1.5 to 1. 59.6% completions, 83 quarterback rating. I mean, he's been an average starting quarterback for a few years, was playing very well in 2018, but he hasn't been able to stay healthy. So what we don't know is if what ails him with his foot, with his shoulder, et cetera, is curable. I mean, he had so many years where he led the league in rushing from the quarterback position, right? More rushing yards at that position than any other player. And he really, really, really got beaten up, man. Really did. All right. It is time to get to three controversial opinions. What controversial opinions do you have today? 71307 on the text line. Just start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Controversial opinion number one here, Tim. Ja Morant is better than Zion Williamson. Ja Morant is better than Zion Williamson. He plays a more important position, point guard. Both guys from South Carolina, Clemson and the Gamecocks got neither one. And I think he's the rookie of the year, and I think he gets the Memphis Grizzlies into the playoffs, and I think he's a top 10 point guard in the NBA today. And I think he's for whatever reason, that he doesn't have the magnetism that Zion Williamson does. Actually said something, had a negative statement on Twitter about police, and he's since apologized for that. But I think right now, with where he is and Zion Williamson kind of, you know, being here some of the time and injured part of the time, I think Ja Morant's a better player. Controversial opinion number one. What do you got, Tim?
See, my first one's actually very contradictory to that one in a way. I said the Pelicans will win the 8 seed and pull it away from the Grizzlies, and then they will pull off a first-round upset in the playoffs.
Yeah, but they're going to get the 8 seed and then they're going to beat the Lakers?
I think it's possible.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, because first of all, LeBron James is someone who can bully people, right? So he needs someone that's going to be able to counter that. Zion can do that at full healthy. I think Zion has a chance to help, and I think the Pelicans could do it. Could.
Ladies and gentlemen, that take is proof as to what happens when kids use drugs at young ages. Right.
Okay.
There. All right, here we go. You know I'm just messing with you, man.
I know, I got you.
All right, here we go. Controversial opinion number two. California fruit salad is actually really damn good. Now, I don't know what you guys call it here, and I've only been a part of your culture here for like 16 months. But what I grew up knowing was California fruit salad is that marshmallow stuff that has mayonnaise in it, and it has like those canned orange slices in there and maraschino cherries and grapes, and it's just like this white blob of marshmallow mess, and people freaking hate it. And I don't know if your mama or dad just doesn't make that very good, but the way my mom made it was freaking fantastic. It was one of my favorite desserts of all time, like the California fruit salad. You'd have it in this huge tub, you know, and you just lop a couple of dollops on that into a bowl, and I have no idea why people don't love that. That is the most delicious bowl of gunk you have ever had in your life. What's it called around these parts? Tim, is it called California fruit salad? What is that called?
I think it's just referred to as fruit salad, I believe, around here. I don't know because I don't have it a lot. I don't like it.
You guys know what I'm talking about, right? That marshmallow. That marshmallows, it has mayonnaise in it, and you just throw all the marshmallows in there, and it's gooey, and it's slimy, and it's orange. You got oranges and some fruit that you throw in there, too. I grew up calling it California fruit salad. Love it. Freaking love it. What's that called here? Are you guys with me? That's good stuff, right? Tim, what do you got?
Okay. So my next one, this might shock you a little bit. I think LSU will not finish in the top three in the SEC West. I think they finish fourth. I think Alabama, Auburn, and Texas A&M finish ahead of them in the West.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Wow. That's incredible. Why do you feel that way?
Because, like you said, I think A&M ran into a tough schedule. They're much older this year. Kellerman, I think, just like your interview Josh Beard said, they're older, and it's just that they're more experienced. And I just like Kellen Mond to be able to kind of realize and say, hey, I try to do too much. Kind of what Trevor Lawrence did at the beginning of last year, just try to be something that he didn't need to try to be. And I think Kellen Mond goes back to the way he was as a sophomore. And then I think Bo Nix at Auburn takes the next leap as well. And then Alabama's just being Alabama. So that's why I think that. And then LSU, I mean, pre-Joe Burrow, there wasn't a whole lot there, in my opinion. And then he took off. And what you need was a quarterback. And they've got talent there. But with a new quarterback, I don't believe him yet. And I would need to see him play first before I jumped on the LSU bandwagon. So that's why I think they finished fourth.
By the way, Tiger Jotes tweets into the show, and he says, I call it clown puke, California fruit salad. This is the popular opinion of most people. They hate that. I think it's freaking fantastic. It's one of my favorite desserts of all time. It tastes so darn good.
Why?
Mayonnaise with marshmallows. You wouldn't think that would be a good mix.
Not at all.
I don't know how my mom made it. It was just like the whole thing ended up just tasting like you were sticking your hand in a jar full of fluff. And then it had little fruit pieces in it as well. It was the greatest thing that I've ever had. And I, for some reason, I haven't eaten it in like probably 8 years or something, man. I got to have – Mom, if you're listening, for Christmas, can I get California fruit salad again? Would that at all be possible? That would be amazing. Absolutely amazing. And finally, third controversial opinion of the day. Tim, are you ready?
I believe so. What you got?
Backup parkers should be banned. Like, you're not allowed to do that. It is such a pain in my padded ass. And I always, pretty much every single day, I find myself waiting for somebody to do that three-point maneuver where they move forward and then back and then they're lining themselves up. And I'm just, Jiminy Christmas, man. How long do you expect me to wait here just so you can pull out facing forward the next day? I mean, how long am I supposed to wait here for this? I've never understood it. You got to back up one of the two ways. You got to either back up going in or back up going out. Why do I have to wait 2 minutes for you to back up going in? Like, for the life of me, ladies and gentlemen, and if you're a backup parker, number one, I have an issue with you. Number two, I need an explanation for why you do what you do. Like, in what world is it a better situation to back that ass up into a parking space? Like, you just pull in, you park, you have to back up going out, which sucks. Yeah, I get it. But you got to back up one of the two ways anyway. Like, if you're a backup parker, I want to hear from you, and I want to try to understand what the hell you guys are thinking with this. But every single day, whether you go to a grocery store, you go anywhere, I'm coming back to my complex here where I live. I'm always finding myself waiting for somebody that is doing this backup into the spot maneuver. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're pulling forward. Oh no, they're not. Okay, they're pulling forward so they can go backward. Oh, now I got to wait. Okay, and they always got to adjust it 8 times, and now they're not quite lined up right. And I just find myself waiting for these yahoos all the time, and I don't understand what people are thinking. What are you thinking?
See, what it is, the way you're describing is, yes, that is very classless in every which way, because if you're keeping someone waiting just because you want to back up and everything.
But I'm mostly having fun with it, Tim. Right. But it is annoying. It is like I don't hate anybody who does that, but it is really freaking annoying when you're stuck waiting for somebody to go through all these 3-point turns just so they can get into their spot when all they have to do is pull in regularly and I can drive right by. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make any sense. What's the deal there? Do you get it?
I don't. If say something like that for me, like I would pull in first, like I'd go straight in, and then I'd let all the traffic go, and then if it all clears and everything, then I want to try to do that. Sure, then I'll.
What is
I might
the advantage? What is the advantage of backing up into your spot? What is the advantage?
It's just like, it's an easy way to get out. You know, it's just you go into your car,
but it's
put
a hard
drive,
way to get. It's a hard way to get in.
But not if you know how to do it. You know, if you had practice with it.
I don't understand it. I just don't understand it. And I felt this way. Here we go. Tiger fan Clint says, I'm a backup parker because I'm around a lot of kids and would rather back into an empty space instead of backing out into where kids or other cars might be. But I never do it if there is a car behind me, out of respect for my fellow motorists. Tiger fan Clint, God bless you. That makes a lot of sense. Like, if you have a home in a neighborhood and kids are playing, you always hear those horrible, tragic stories of a truck ran over a kid. They didn't see them, right? So if you're facing forward, you don't have it. That's a great explanation for why you would do that. I see less of an explanation for that where I live. And yet every damn day, I'm looking right now at my parking lot, and about half the cars are facing forward, which means some poor soul had to wait 2 minutes for that person to get into their spot. Don't understand it for the life of me. We'll never understand it. We'll never get it. We'll never make sense to me. But anyway, those are my three controversial opinions for today. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. You're listening to Offsides with Mark, Ryan, and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate. Offsides, Mark, Ryan, and Tim right here on ESPN Upstate on a Monday edition of the show. Fantastic to have you with us. PalFan on Twitter, at PaladinFanCentral, says, the best one, Mark, is, we've all seen this too, right, is the backup parker in an empty parking lot. That is the most, and you always find yourself behind that guy, right? Like, there's eight rows that you can go down, and you pick the same row that somebody else was already going down, and now you got to wait for them to do their whole 3 points. Oh, they're not quite lined up right. Jiminy Christmas, man. Ta-ta-ta today, Junior. Come on. Oh, gosh, what is the name of that Adam Sandler movie? I'm blanking on it, Tim. What was the name of that? Ta-ta-ta today, Junior. Billy Madison, right? No? Yeah, Billy Madison. Billy Madison was the name of it. Mark Ryan, insanely obtuse account. I said insanely obtuse over the weekend at somebody because this a Clemson fan said to me, like, what's the big deal with 37 Clemson players testing positive for COVID because none of them are in the hospital? Oh, my God, what's the big deal? The big deal is that half of them are symptomatic. If any of them are actually seriously sick, you would never hear about it because of HIPAA guidelines, so you don't know that somebody isn't really sick. And then it's about who they could pass the virus on to. You know, at this point in the virus's spread, guys, I think most of us know people that have it or are suspected of having it. And it's really freaking scary, honestly. Mark Ryan, insanely obtuse account, says, I'm with you on the parking. When I went to the gym in the morning and it was still dark, about half the cars did this, and I always had to annoyingly wait on somebody. Texter says, Mark, people drive 40 miles an hour in parking lots, and it's much easier to pull out and see them in the back out in front of them. That's what she said. A texter says, they train commercial drivers to back up. They train commercial drivers to back up because when you can assess your parking area as you approach the space, and it's safer when you leave. I think others do it because they might need to make a quick getaway. That's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, are you expecting to have such a fight with the wife or significant other later in the evening that you got to have your car facing in the right way so you can just get up and go? Is that what this is about? Like, I'm totally with this texter here that says, quick getaway, man. I mean, that's got to be what it is, right? It just, because I'm always waiting behind these people. Always. Good God. I'm always waiting behind these people that have to back up into their spot. And it just, I've never understood that. Oh, by the way, this is a great text. And by the way, if you're on the line, please hold. We will get to you immediately on the flip side of this. A text from the moms. Tim, you ready for this? Mark, here's the recipe for California fruit salad. One package miniature marshmallows, one pint sour cream, one can of fruit cocktail drained, one can mandarin orange slices drained, Combine the above in a large bowl. Cover and refrigerate for several hours. Serve cold. Look at this. I've got coming into me live from the moms. I've got the recipe right here in front of me now. This is such a beautiful thing. California fruit salad for all. Coming your way. The top five at five is coming your way next here on Offsides.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.